Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. The only show that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice. With your host today, Matthew Cummings. Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. I look forward to this show each and every week. You come up with the most fascinating stuff. Are there many, I have to always ask, and maybe we've had some people write in, are there many university programs out there that really take a look at marketing communications and data like you guys do, or is this kind of a cutting edge field?
It is, and WVU is the first to offer an integrated marketing communications master's program. And really, the strength lies in being a practitioner's program. It's really a learn it today, apply it tomorrow type of degree. And we hear that a lot from students. So it's something that we're certainly excited about.
Well, who have you brought with you today to share some learn it today ideas here?
You know, we have a great show on tap this afternoon focused on mobile marketing. And our guest today is Bob Bentz. Bob is the author of Relevance Raises Response, How to Engage and Acquire with Mobile Marketing. He's also president of mobile first digital agency Purple Gator, and I love that name, based in Philadelphia, which boasts an impressive client list, including O'Reilly Auto Parts, Papa John's, Huntington Learning Center, Penn Medicine, and Baylor University. Bob is a proud graduate of West Virginia University, and in addition to being an author and agency president, he's also an adjunct at the University of Denver. And this is the exciting part. Later this year, Bob will join the WVU instructor team to teach the mobile marketing course in our Integrated Marketing Communications Master's program. It's my pleasure to welcome you today, Bob. Thanks for taking the time to join us this afternoon.
Great to be here. Hail West Virginia.
It's that time of year, right? March Madness is in full effect. Let's get started.
While we're doing this interview.
Let's get started at the beginning, I guess. You know, this can all be very exciting. We talk about mobile, but it can also be overwhelming. If a business owner or entrepreneur is listening today and they know that they need to start and get involved in mobile, where should they begin?
Well, you know, there's a real tsunami of traffic that's moving from desktop to mobile. And I like to say that your website is always your best salesperson. It's your quarterback. It's your starting pitcher. So, you know, if I were to get started in mobile marketing and I hadn't done anything thus far, the first thing I would do is to make sure that my website has a great user experience for those people that are on mobile devices, both tablets and watches, as well as typical smartphones. So, you know, when we got started in designing mobile websites, there actually was a different website that you used for mobile traffic than you did for desktop traffic. But that was back when, you know, only 10 to 20% of all traffic went to the web via mobile. And today we're at over 57% of all web traffic that emanates from a mobile device, according to BrightEdge. So that's 68% more traffic that was coming just 18 months ago. There really is a huge amount of business moving from desktop to mobile. Restaurants, you know, if you're a fast food restaurant, you're going to see as high as 85% of your traffic coming from mobile because, as you would expect, people are out and about. They're hungry. They want to find a restaurant near me, and they're going to search and hopefully find your restaurant that way. So one of the things that I always recommend to people to do is, given the trend of more and more web traffic moving to mobile, is design your website for mobile first and then design the desktop site. And traditionally, web designers have done it the other way around. Now, it's not necessarily true in every industry. Certainly, if you're a restaurant, you want to design mobile first. If you're selling mortgages, that's something that's going to be more on the desktop side, you know, because it's something that's complex. But, you know, one of my tips is always to design for mobile first and then worry about desktop second, because it's all going in that direction.
Great. Thank you. You know, I have to ask you, though, when did you get started? How did you get your start in mobile?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, in business, you're lucky. You kind of happen to fall into something at the right time. I have been in business for myself since 1989 and been fortunate enough to expand overseas in that time. And I currently have offices in in addition to the United States, in Canada and in the UK and the Czech Republic. But I was over in our UK office in 2002, and I was riding the underground there, and I noticed when people's phones rang in the UK, they played, at the time, Spice Girl ringtones. And I thought that was incredibly interesting, because that hadn't hit the United States yet, because at that time, Europe was still about 3 years ahead of North America in terms of mobile. And I actually came back from London on that trip and said, we got to get into this ringtone thing. And we started two of the early United States-based ringtone sites. That was back when you didn't get a ringtone on the deck of your phone. You actually went to the internet, and then we sent a text message to the phone with the packet of the ringtone. So that was my first venture into mobile. It goes back to 2002. We sold that business in 2006 to a publicly traded company in Canada. And at that time, I said, you know, hey, we've gotten pretty good at delivering stuff to the mobile phone. What else can we do? So we actually pioneered some of the early text message marketing sites online, where small and large businesses can go online and set up their own interactive and broadcast SMS marketing program. So that's really how I got interested in mobile in the first place.
And it all got started with the Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls did it. Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of aspects to mobile marketing today. Which one, and obviously this is a question that the C-suite asks all the time, which one's going to provide the greatest ROI for the smallest investment?
You know, I'm a huge believer in probably what is the most unsexy part of mobile marketing, and that is SMS text message marketing. You know, it's not the thing that's going to get the boss that excited, but it just really works. It's really inexpensive. It has a great return on investment. Probably the best thing you can do is SMS text message marketing. One of the reasons I like text message marketing so much is because it's opt-in marketing, as opposed to email, which is opt-out marketing. And the reason that's so important is because 97% of all text messages, including promotional ones, are opened and read. Compare that to the average office worker, which now gets 141 emails a day. He can't possibly open them all. And in fact, only about 28% of all emails are open today. So the open rate is really what makes text message marketing work so well. And the fact that there were laws put in place early on to protect text messages so that we didn't get inundated with the amount of spam that we get on our emails. It is absolutely, and you don't want to mess with this, you don't want to be sending broadcast text messages to anyone who hasn't opted into your list. And the reason that's so important is because the consumer has said, I like your brand or I like your business so much that I'm willing to give you permission to send me advertising. And how often does that happen?
Sure. You know, in your book, you have 60 top text messaging marketing tips. Obviously, we don't have time for all 60 here today, but what are your favorite tips for text message marketing?
I'm glad to see you read the book. Okay. probably my favorite one is, a lot of people think, you know, their association with text message marketing has been because they probably opted into their favorite pizza restaurant and they get the specials from the pizza restaurant. So people think of it in terms of B2C as opposed to B2B. But I would contend that it works just as well for B2B. And one of the things that's so cool that you can do is, I have all of our B2B customers set up their texts to go 57 minutes after the hour, exactly 3 minutes before the top of the hour. And why do we do it then? Well, that's when business people, really busy business people, are waiting for their next meeting to start, and they're looking through their phone, and it's when they can really engage with your message and really grab hold of it. So that's a nice little tip, to send your B2C text messages 3 minutes before the top of the hour.
That's a great tip, and we're gonna take a break here in just a bit. But I have one more question for you before we do that. You know, something else in the book, and we also discussed this when you and I were talking about the program today. You mentioned something called the thumb test, and I made note of that. Can you explain what you meant by the thumb test and how it applies to mobile?
Yeah, that really applies to, you know, having a great mobile website that's easy to navigate. And, you know, look down at your smartphone. It's pretty small. So it's really important that the consumer is able to navigate. And, you know, every guy and probably every girl out there wants to be someone else other than themselves. Well, I always wanted to be The Rock. You know, I think that would be really cool to be The Rock. And he's a huge guy, and compared to an average guy, he has much bigger fingers than any of us probably have. So to try and make sure that your mobile website works for even really big guys like the Rock, try and navigate it with your thumb, because it's a lot bigger than your pointer finger or the other fingers you might use to navigate. And if your website is easy to navigate using just your thumb, then you know how The Rock feels, and you have a website that's very easy to navigate, and it's going to get your brand across real well to the consumer.
Tom, for one more question here before the break, you know, mobile advertising is this is the fastest growing medium in the marketing world today. So what do you attribute that to, and how can businesses best buy mobile advertising?
Well, you know, there's never really been an advertising medium quite like mobile, because it enables a brand to target just the right consumers in the right place at the right time. And you know, I always say to people, when you think of mobile, you have to think differently than you do with traditional advertising. Because when it comes to traditional advertising, you're buying places. You know, you're buying a outdoor advertisement. You're hoping that the right fish swim by and see the ad. Well, in the case of mobile, the targeting is so good because we know so darn much about you. Some people say it's scary, but as a marketer, I love it. And when it comes to mobile, we're targeting people, not places. And so I really think the thing that has caused mobile advertising to grow so much has been its outstanding targeting. Take Facebook, for example. If you bought Facebook stock 10 years ago, you're very happy right now. And the reason it works so well is Facebook knows so much about you. Not only did you give them a lot of information when you signed up for your initial Facebook account, but you've been posting all along. You've been liking all along. So Facebook's recording all this data. They have a lot of information in addition to demographics. They know your interests because of other businesses that you've liked, other things that you've commented on. And not only what you've done on Facebook is something that they're tracking, but they're also tracking where you go around the web, because you've probably read an article and you've seen a little icon there for sharing it on your Facebook page. Well, Facebook's on that page, so they know who came to that page, and they're also tracking what you're doing off of Facebook as well. And so it's really the targeting that I think makes mobile advertising so darn effective.
You know, and it's still something that catches a lot of people off guard. I think marketers generally understand that from a you know, top level perspective, but consumers are still surprised when they see an ad that's really relevant to their past behavior and activity online. We are going to take that break now, and we're going to come back, and I want to ask you about ad blockers, and we'll also ask you to look into the future as well. So we'll be right back.
Just a couple of quick thoughts here in related to this week's program. And the first is pretty obvious. It's that marketing is about more than ads and press releases. It's about building relationships. Connect with other marketing professionals at West Virginia University's Integrate Conference in Morgantown, West Virginia, August 1st through the 4th. You can network and learn from industry leaders. Speakers represent large and innovative organizations like Cisco and Facebook, as well as agencies like Cappuccino and Fujikado. Register today at integrate.wvu.edu. That's integrate.wvu for West Virginia University.edu. We'll see you there. And we also want to point out that West Virginia University's online data marketing communications program that we keep talking about, it's the first graduate program to focus on data's impact on marketing communications and the decisions we all have to make. Learn innovative strategies from award-winning faculty as you shape the future of marketing. Learn more at DMC for Digital Marketing Communications. DMC.wvu for West Virginia University.edu. Lots of letters, but it all adds up to the same place. DMC.wvu.edu. All right, back to some gentlemen with lots of letters, I'm assuming, after their names as well here. Fascinating discussion you're talking about. I look forward to hearing about ad blockers, because in this medium of podcasting, we're wondering if ad blockers will affect us or change the nature of ads to be more, as they say, native advertising, where the host, like I did, reads it and it can't be blocked out as easily. Fascinated to hear your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Paul. And again, just a reminder, our guest today, Bob Bentz, author and president of Purple Gator Agency in Philadelphia. So let's jump back into it, Bob. You know, a lot of consumers are using ad blocker technology today. How much of a threat are ad blockers to mobile and also to social and on the web and all of the other platforms that we enjoy?
Well, yeah, good question. I think except for people like you and me, most people don't want to see advertising. Nobody wants to see the advertising if they can avoid it. So if they can install an ad blocker on their desktop or their mobile, you know, they just might do it. Millennials are the people that are doing it the most right now, and usually starts with millennials. It's a threat, but I don't think it's as big of a threat as everyone thinks. According to the IAB, about 40% of desktop users use some kind of ad blocker, and about 15% of mobile users use ad blockers. But keep in mind that while on mobile, you can block ads that are on mobile websites. You can't Right. block ads that are in apps. And apps has really been the growth area. In fact, when you look at the total time spent with mobile that doesn't include actually talking on the phone, the thing it was invented to do in the first place, 89.2% of the time spent on mobile is spent in apps. And so, you know, that's something that ad blockers are never going to be able to affect. And what we're seeing more and more as a company that facilitates a lot of mobile advertising is every year more and more, a greater percentage of our ads are running in apps versus on mobile websites, and it's almost entirely for the reason of ad blockers.
You know, let's stay on this topic of apps for a while. Does every business need an app?
No, I don't think they do, at least not yet. App development is very expensive. It's about 10 times more expensive than web development. And a lot of times people forget that once you have the app done, there's ongoing costs because you have to continually develop for changes made by Apple and Android and for new size devices coming into the market. So it's a big commitment, and it's not a one-time commitment. It's something you're going to have to keep up with maintenance as time goes on. And the biggest mistake that I see when people develop apps is they spend all their money on the development, and they forget that they have to market it. And then the boss isn't very happy when they check the download stats because you're competing against 2 million apps that are in the App Store right now. So you better have something special that makes it stand out. So make sure when you develop an app that you also save a marketing budget at the end so that you can get people to actually do the downloads.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to make that investment. You know, an app is only as good as its users. So, you know, along those lines, what's the best way to advertise, and where's the best place to advertise to download an app?
Yeah, I think it's Facebook. Overwhelmingly, you see a lot of ads on Facebook. Most of us today are accessing Facebook from the Facebook app as opposed to typing in Facebook.com on the URL anymore. And in fact, 86% of us are now using the Facebook app versus the mobile website of Facebook. And people are very used to making purchases on Facebook. The ads are prominent. They take up 100% of the screen. As we talked about before, they're very native. They're usually things that you're interested in. And it's a lot easier to download an app when you're already on your mobile phone as opposed to when you're on the desktop and you got to send it to your mobile phone. So Facebook is the place I would start with when promoting downloads of an app.
This has been a great conversation, but it brings up the question, where is this all heading? So we've seen the explosive growth, and you mentioned that earlier, just in terms of just year over year explosive growth in mobile, not only use, but advertising as well. So look into your crystal ball, and where is this all heading? And what are you most excited about for the future?
Well, I wish I had that crystal ball for March Madness here. I'd be out in Vegas right now. Anyway.
That one says, you know, Final Four.
There you go.
At least mine does, anyway.
You know, we used to think it was cool when we could play Snake on our mobile phone. You know, that was really cool. And then we started to use LOL in our text, and we thought that was really cool. But the future is just amazing. You know, some of the things that I'm seeing now is, you know, you need to optimize for SEO a lot different than you used to because of voice search. You know, people are searching on Siri or Alexa instead of typing it in the little Google box, and they speak in full sentences, so they know exactly what they want. So you kind of have to change what you're doing in terms of voice search. Video is the future when it comes to mobile. People are inherently lazy, and they're always going to watch a video and be entertained as opposed to having the hard work of actually reading something. And one of the things that I've seen, too, with the business videos is you don't need Hollywood productions anymore. A simple digital camera and a 6-15-second video will be engaging to your audience, and it'll really make your brand stand out. Mobile wallets. I hear people all the time say, I don't think it's safe to use my Apple Pay. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Someone takes your credit card, they can go to Macy's and buy whatever they want. If they take your phone, they got to have your fingerprint to make that purchase. So that doesn't make any sense to me. I think in the future, we're not going to carry around 10 credit cards in our wallets and purses. We're just going to have our mobile phone to buy things. Virtual reality is probably the thing that I'm the most excited about. There's some really cool things that you can do out there with virtual reality. This year, Amazon became the country's biggest retailer of apparel. And think about that. You can't try anything on before you buy it at Amazon like you can at a department store, but they're now the biggest. And Shopify's done a really cool thing. With Shopify, you can actually have your image there and try on different clothing with virtual reality to see how you'd look in that clothing. IKEA, same thing. You can take a picture of your room. My wife always says, what would it be if we moved the couch over there? And I'm like, well, pick it up and move it, and I'll let you know. Well, with IKEA, you can actually take a picture of your room and see how that lamp and that desk would look in the corner of the room. So really cool stuff that's going on in mobile and virtual reality, and I'm really excited about that. You know, we live in the age of mobile, but mobile's only going to get bigger and bigger as time goes on.
You know, it's amazing. Something that started out as just a tool to connect people is now connecting business. It's connecting things as well. And it sounds like very useful things. This isn't trendy. You know, all the examples that you just shared are very useful as well. So that's really exciting about this platform. One more question. If someone wants to learn more, and you mentioned that I had a copy of your book, and I appreciate that. Hey, where can they find your book and more insights from you?
Oh, well, if they're there in Morgantown, they can go on campus, and you can find my book at the WVU bookstore and the Book Exchange. You can also go on my promotional website for the book, relevanceraisesresponse.com. You can go on Amazon and purchase it, or Kindle, or any other fine online book retailer.
Got it. Thank you much. Bob, it's been a pleasure having you today on WVU Marketing Communications Today, and I appreciate it, everyone listening. Anything else to add?
No, just thank you very much for having me here. Love the university, and anything I can do to be associated with it, I'm very excited about.
Excellent. We appreciate your time, and make it a positive and productive day, everyone. Thank you again.
You've been listening to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today, the only show that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice.